Well, good morning, everyone. It's Thursday morning, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. We're a marketing co-op, 130 members, enjoying all the wonders that the Sonoran Desert have bestowed upon us. And my co-host, Tim Vimmerstedt. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Thomas.
Now, Timmy, I sent, cleared the throat for today. I sent you a few things, if you could open up your computer, but we're going to talk a little bit about, of course, all the events, but I sent Timmy a very detailed description of some of the events that you just don't want to miss, and we'll talk a little bit of in more detail about Nightfall, and there's a just wonderful festival coming up. It actually started today, right. If you don't know anything about how many recipes you can include corn in, all you have to do is go to this festival, and you'll learn all kind. Did you know there was a corn ice cream, Matt?
Okay, I'll take that.
I've had
garlic ice cream, so why not corn?
Well, it was sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, it was
sure,
sweet corn, and there's a, you know, so I learned that at one of the corn festivals here in the community. And of course, you don't call it corn, do you, Matt?
Yeah. No, we gonna do this?
Maize?
There you go.
Maize. Okay.
All right.
I have a problem sometimes with Spanish, but
we're gonna make a Tucson native out of you. Yeah, that's good.
Pueblo
Tom.
Very
good.
Pueblo de la Maíz festival put on the centennial. That's 100 years. Let's say decade-long Tucson City of Gastronomy. And we'll have Jonathan the executive director, Jonathan Mabry, the executive director for 10 years, actually, now. The Tucson City of Gastronomy is strong and puts on this fourth annual festival featuring all kinds of different ways that you can utilize corn. You know, a lot of us just think, well, it's corn tortilla, a corn on the cob. You'll be absolutely surprised if you haven't happened to go to the festival this weekend. So it's a great opportunity. Corn, of course, has been grown here for many, many years by our folks that used to inhabit our land here long, long, long ago on our famous mountain there, right outside of downtown West Side. And but Timmy, did you get a chance to look at your computer? And there's just I think there's three or four of your favorite festivals in there. Not a lot of details, but I think what we just want to do this morning, because we're going to have a full schedule when Jonathan calls in, if you could just kind of share those with everybody.
Absolutely. The Pueblos de Maíz, it's Tucson signature celebration. Thanks for pronouncing it for me.
Maíz. Okay, we got that.
I'm from Ohio. I'm not good at it.
All the Spanish-speaking people here are laughing at us right now. So
they are, yes. celebration of corn heritage. It's a multiple-day festival. It blends food, music, art, cultural storytelling. It's part of a four-city collaboration.
That's good. Yeah, let's move on. Yeah.
And the deep agricultural and spiritual significance of corn across indigenous and Latin cultures. They traced corn back to over 4,000 years ago in the Tucson region.
That's fantastic, and we'll hear more about that from Jonathan after about 7:18 this morning.
All right. And then we have Nightfall.
Oh, yeah.
It's our time. Starting October 2nd through November 1st, Thursday through Sunday, 6 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. out at Old Tucson Studios. They've got this year's villain is Dabney the Clown.
What? Wait a minute. How can a clown be a villain?
Well, trust me. If I can show you the picture.
Phobia, so.
Yeah. Well, he will be here live in the studio on
They're trying to drum up some pictures. Yes. Some business.
Oh, you can see him, Dabney. You can put him on YouTube. But Dabney will be here October 9th.
Perfect.
Yeah, so he'll the Queen made me disappear last year. Remember, Matt?
I cannot believe my eyes. I saw it with my own two eyes.
You were looking for me, and I wasn't in the studio. I had no idea where I was, but luckily the gang here brought me back.
They brought you back. That was nice of them. And good for us on the Morning Voice.
Yeah. I was going to say, good for us.
We had to call Colonel. Right, we had to call the general and find out where I was. So, General Ted, so thank you. Thank you, Ted.
So they've got 6 haunted houses this year.
Wow.
I know. That's quite a task. Roaming scary actors, roaming the streets, and theme scare zones, stunt shows, music theater, magic, craft cuisine. They're really doing it big this year.
Yeah, I think they've gone.
And they have family friendly zones.
Yeah, that's good. It's the third. Is it the 33rd? I think you said, right. So it's been around for a long time.
It has been.
Yeah,
I still have the original marketing plan and presentation for the first Nightfall.
I don't know if you were around when the team when their 20th anniversary or whatever with Rick Rose. You remember Rick Rose?
Yeah, of course.
So they asked Rick Rose from Film Creation. By the way, Film Creations is still around. He sold it to a gentleman, and he's helping consult on there. Good friend of the Ad Federation. The folks at Old Tucson asked him to do a video on the history of Nightfall. And yeah. I believe, you remember, were you around when we saw that in the theater there? Do you remember that day? It was pretty it was pretty creepy, wasn't it?
It was pretty creepy. We brought David Palmer back, the inventor of Nightfall.
That's right. And that's right. He wrote the script, and it's been with Dr. Hyde. And I believe if you really search long and hard on YouTube, you can find the history of Nightfall. Now, they shaked up a few things for this year. Dr. Hyde has been relegated to a show. His wife, the Queen, who had enough with me last year and made me disappear, she has been banned from the town of Nightfall, which is really good. But I think she'll be back. You'll have to be careful because these people that you think go away, they just keep coming back, Matt.
The band
keep
doesn't
coming
work.
Back and keep coming back, you know. But Dabney was a creation of Dr. Hyde. So we'll hear all about that story line on October 9th, and that will be kind of like live theater here in the Bustos studio. And
that'll be
a lot of fun. I'm sure, Timmy, you'll have a role in this. Start practicing your wind noises and your laugh. Okay, can I hear that scary laugh from you? Let me hear that scary laugh, Tim. Okay, that'll be much
some work to do.
You need to keep practicing on that.
I'll do my best.
Maybe what we'll do, Matt, is that we'll bring in the jocks over there and the drive and anybody else here that's in the studio.
You make Matt Gentry disappear? Is that what you're saying?
No. I think we'll have a contest on who has the scariest laugh. What do you think? Or whatever. You know, let's hear yours.
You're catching me off guard.
Well, that's the whole idea. Well, okay. He needs a little practice too, Tim.
No time to work on this.
You got a couple of weeks to work on that, Matt.
Yeah,
maybe we'll do that, though. You'll have to run that in your employee staff meeting, Matt, to see if they're all in for it. And then we'll have the vote. The people that are listening vote on it for it. And then and we'll probably give some tickets away. That's always good to give away Nightfall tickets. And
by the way, I'm over at oldtucson.com. And is Dabney?
D- Dabney.
Dabney is a scary-looking clown.
He is a scary-looking. Timmy, you would be...
And a cowboy hat on a scary-looking clown.
Yeah, you'll be terrified. And he's like 6'6", 350 pounds. So you don't want to you don't want to mess with this clown.
No.
I'm going to stay home for that one. I'll be on the East Side Volunteer location.
Me and Tim are going to go grab a beer. You guys go deal with the 6-foot-tall, scary... clown.
Now, when you arrive at Old Tucson, this is a little sampling of what you're going to get before we go to break. When you arrive at the front gate, you know, you pay your money or you already bought the ticket in advance, which we would recommend. You have two choices to enter Nightfall. You can enter it through the haunted house of clowns, or you can take the safe and take the family entrance. Okay. So, Timmy, we know which one you would take.
I'm going family entrance.
Yeah. Listen, your experience, they say your experience starts at the front gate, and that's exactly where the experience of Nightfall 33 is going to happen. So, Matt, with all that wonderful, scary.
Have an inferno.
Fear is fun is their theme.
The asylum, the inferno.
Yeah. So stay October 9th, write it on your calendar. We're going to have a live Nightfall preview. Actually, Nightfall will be going on. So when they get here, they said they were too busy to come here next week.
The
but
seance,
that's okay.
Booville Bash. Well, my goodness, this is. They're going all out.
We have a seance every Thursday here, so, you know. All right, enough of this. Matt, take it away. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Olt. Well, we're back, and this is The Morning Voice, and Jonathan Mabry will be joining us in just a few moments. Is he on the phone?
Not yet.
Okay, we're waiting for Jonathan, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Pueblos De La Maiz. Say that again. Did I say that right? Okay.
Right on.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's fantastic. And it's certainly been an event that's been going on. This is the fourth year that it's been going on. So we are definitely looking forward to hearing a lot more about that. Tucson City of Gastronomy was put together by Jonathan in the city of Tucson, recognizing the significance of our heritage foods here and our culture. And I've had the pleasure of being on the board of the Tucson City Gastronomy for 10 years, and along with many chefs and local leaders here in the community. And we have... you know, my favorite program is the chef ambassadors, because they get a chance to go around the United States and actually the world, and feature the foods of Tucson. So we really get a chance to add a little bit of tourism into that as well. But hey, Tim, good morning. We're gonna.
Good morning.
There you are. Okay, we're waiting for Jonathan to call in. I just got off the phone with him, and he's going to be joining us in a few minutes. But hey, on that sheet of the festival, can you tell us a little bit more about the significance of why we're having that event again here, and you know, in this community? And you had mentioned that there's a. Other communities that are also doing the Maiz festival as well.
There are, yes. It's San Antonio, Texas, Merida, Mexico, a town in Italy I can't pronounce. So there's four other communities that are, and Tucson kicks it off. This festival.
So, Tim, are these festivals all related to ours, or I mean, are they coordinated, or are they just similar festivals in other cities?
They're coordinated with ours.
That's excellent.
That's
quite a reach.
Yeah, it really is. And so we kick off the festival, and then they follow soon after. And it's all about culinary tourism. The festival boosts Tucson's reputation as a food destination, drawing thousands of visitors and media attention every year. And the economic impact is significant.
Hey, Timmy. Timmy?
Yes.
Jonathan is on the phone.
Oh, well, let's let the smart guy tell us about it.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks so much for...
Good morning, Jonathan.
Thanks so much for joining in. We were doing a little bit of a preview right before you got on, and exciting the listening audience here, and nothing more exciting, though, than having the executive director on with the Tucson City of Gastronomy. We're talking a little bit about the 10th anniversary of the organization and how you and the city of Tucson kind of been working with UNESCO and in getting this all squared away, and actually being the first city of gastronomy in the United States. And I think several years later, the San Antonio joined the ranks. But this festival is in its fourth year. Can you share some of the excitement that's going to be going on starting today?
Yes, thank you, Tom. So we're really excited to produce this fourth edition of this festival that is absolutely unique. It starts in Tucson, and then it moves through several other UNESCO cities of gastronomy, including San Antonio and Mérida, Mexico, and Bergamo, Italy. And the theme is the significance of corn in each of our cities' cuisine and food cultures. And of course, in Tucson, we have the longest history of corn cultivation in the United States, going back more than 5,000 years. So the festival in each city is different. And in Tucson, we do events over several days.
Yes, and it kicks off today formally, and then Saturday I ran into your sound guy and your production guy, and I guess he's helping you got the bands together, and I'm excited about that. That's at Kennedy Park. I think that's kind of the big free festival. Obviously, doesn't climax until Sunday with the special dinner going on at the Carriage House. But I think probably most of the listening audience are going to be going to Kennedy Park, don't you think?
Yeah, the big event of the festival every year is at Kennedy Park. This year it will start at 4 o'clock and go until 9 o'clock. Rain or shine, we're hoping it doesn't rain, but even if it does, we're ready.
Okay.
And there will be a lineup of bands playing music that is connected to Southern Arizona, and there will be a dozen food vendors, and there will be artists and crafts makers, lots of activities for kids. It's a very family-friendly event. So concert with the Tucson's street food and artists and all kinds of fun activities, it gets bigger every year.
Yeah,
so
now
come on out to that.
Right, the first year it was at Kennedy Park. Was that just last year?
It was 2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Okay.
Kennedy Park. Yeah.
And tell us a little bit more, because we got a few minutes, and I know you're really busy, but tell us, how has it grown over the last 2 years?
Well, we add new activities to the event at Kennedy Park every year. this year, we're going to have not only the music, but we're going to have folklorico dancing. We're going to have, for the kids, they're going to have face painting and balloon animals. And a new thing this year is a pop-up farmers market.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit more about that, Jonathan.
It'll be some vendors selling some fresh produce from southern Arizona and some artisanal food products that are only made in this region.
Yeah, it's exciting, and the fact that you have been working with the other city of gastronomy certified cities from UNESCO to put on the same theme of corn, and we were talking about the corn ice cream that I tried, and I have to tell you, it was absolutely amazing. But I couldn't remember where I got that corn ice cream from. Do you remember the shop where that is available?
You know, the Elote ice cream, I've had it myself, but I can't remember either, the vendor. But there'll be all kinds of delicious things to eat besides corn as well at Kennedy Park. And then Sunday night, the closing event is going to be a fabulous dinner cooked by Gastronomic Union of Tucson chefs, cooking with visiting chefs from Bergamo, Italy, and San Antonio.
Yeah, so can you tell us, there's a lot of activities, and there's a special website just for this string of festivals throughout the world. Can you share that with us?
Yes, it's called Pueblos del Maíz, all one word, .com. PueblosDelMaiz.com.
Well, Jonathan, we thank you for your service, and it's just really exciting that you're able, of course, with the help of Pima County and many other sponsors, Visit Tucson to share this festival and to celebrate really our 5,000 year heritage. So, thank you so much for coming on, and I know it will be hard to see you over the next 4 days, but our best to you, and the Sunday event sounds really exciting with the five different chefs. So have a good time, Jonathan, and those folks that are out there, check out the website and learn some new things on how to use corn. Take care, all. We'll be right back.
Morning Voice will be right back.
Alrighty, we're back, and thanks to Jonathan Mabry for coming on and kind of giving us a short kind of overview of what was going on during Pueblo de los Maíz. I got that.
You're there, man.
I know we're, you know, we really appreciate him coming on because, again, we got him from the city of Tucson to become the executive director, and it's just been a fantastic gentleman running the organization. And we just received a really nice grant from Mellon Bank, and we're able to kind of add staff and shore up all of our programs and add some new programs. So we'll have Jonathan on probably in a couple of months. So he can share with us all the new programming that's going on with the city of gastronomy. We're a great tourism opportunity. Over 60 local restaurants have been certified as the Tucson City of Gastronomy certified restaurant. Probably one of the friendliest and most just a great group of folks that are the chefs here in town, and the collaboration. It's just amazing. And then we've been able to form the ambassador group. And there'll be five chefs here from all over the world cooking for Tucson. And I think there may be a few tickets left, too, as well, if you go to that website there. Or you can go to Tucson City of Gastronomy .com as well and learn more about this event. This event is clearly a community event, so thank you for listening about that. Now, there's a couple of other events that we wanted to talk about, but don't forget tomorrow tune in to Dr. Ackerley, and he will be here in the morning at 7 o'clock. And as usual, he talks about all the wonderful things that are going on at the University of Arizona. He has a unique pathway into the University of Arizona because he is a professor at the School of Eller in marketing. So
yeah, and just so I can add in, I am so looking forward to this. I found out a couple of days ago he's having Dan Bryce from Bryce Chili Farms out in St. David. So it's green chili season. I'm looking for the full lineup here. I've got it here somewhere handy, but I'll get it in just a second. But I'm telling you, you know, it's green chili season, so he's going to have Dan Bryce on, and Dan is always very interesting, and, you know, it's a short drive out there, and you can get some great, he is, everybody talks about Hatch, New Mexico, and their chilies, and I'm not knocking Hatch. Hatch is a wonderful place. Dan takes his hybrids and his chilies and his crop very seriously, has a lot of fun doing it, and he is really good at what he does. He'll have Jane Hamilton on, and he'll also have from the University of Arizona, Vance Holliday from Anthropology and Geosciences, and John Alfar from the Department of Orthopedic Surgery. So a full lineup tomorrow, kicking off with Dan Bryce from Bryce Family Farms Green Chili in St. David. And as we know, Tom, it's 'tis the season for green chili.
It is. And we want to thank Dr. Ackerley for providing this information in a timely manner so we get a chance to talk about. We have four additional hosts that come on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 to 9. And what did we talk about in our meeting? We're on our, is this almost the 10th month, October, for this new show?
Sure, but the other iteration, the Jump in Tucson iteration, was about a year. And so we're well over 18 months of bringing this variety of community programming to Tucson.
And you could hear all the shows.
Yeah.
And I think you can reach them through KVY.com.
KVY.com. We get the podcast there.
As well as I believe there's a website, the Morning Show Tucson.
The Morning Voice, yeah.
The Morning Voice, thank you. The Morning Voice Tucson, okay.
There's a Morning Voice Facebook page.
Yeah, it's called the Morning Voice Tucson. Yeah. And it goes to a site that Dr. Ackerley has put together.
Yep.
And there's also, we can't forget about YouTube and Facebook.
Videos of several of our programs, including today's on YouTube. 1030 The Voice is our channel on YouTube. If you'd like to watch, you got to go to the live tab because these are all, because we're running them as YouTube lives. And I usually link to them on our Facebook page, KV, 1030 The Voice. On Facebook.
Yeah, you can see all the shows. I think I like going to YouTube better to see all the past shows because it's really indexed, I think. But yeah. Certainly Facebook, if you're more familiar with Facebook, to navigate. But I really like how YouTube indexes our past shows. And the difference, of course, is it's video. So I'm surrounded by many cameras.
Hardly make a move.
I can't make a move without one of Matt pushing a button. And one of them. I got to be careful what I happen to my beard and my nose.
You got to go to, you know, you can hear stories about your neighbors, about neighboring businesses, about tourism, which is on Thursdays, which is such a very important part of our identity here in Tucson as a tourist destination. You can hear about what's going on in the government levers and policy with Ted. You can hear about restaurants and how government actions are affecting you as a business or a citizen with Grant. And Lydia's just killing it on the nonprofit space. She's bringing in all sorts of folks with interesting stories of how they serve the Southern Arizona community. So I'm telling you, you know, you can really get informed about your neighbors, the business on the corner, everything, just by listening to the Morning Voice every day from 7 to 9.
And man, I just got a call from the Cochise County Fair.
Okay.
They said, you forgot to talk about the fair. And I said, well, I will talk about it.
So is this a you, me, and Tim road trip for this one, too?
Well, it would be wonderful. I'm not sure I would want to miss the corn recipes that Jonathan talked about, but they have the typical fair food, and if it's not fried, it's not a fair food. It's the 101st Annual Cochise County Fair at the Cochise County Fairgrounds, and it starts today, September 25th, and goes through September 28th. And you know what? It's not very far away, actually. If you miss the Pima County Fair, hop on over to Cochise County Fair.
Where were the fairgrounds? Is it Sierra Vista or
Cochise County Fairgrounds? So okay, well, you know, look it up. You know, I don't. The other thing is, you know, we talked about Mount Lemon had a over there at the Iron Door restaurant, and they had their Oktoberfest. But guess what? It is October is almost here. And Sahorita is having an Oktoberfest on Saturday, okay? And there's another Oktoberfest on Mount Lemon at the Mount Lemon Lodge. I don't know if you've ever been there or
not.
Have
to pace myself with all that beer.
Yeah, well, Mount Lemon Lodge was built maybe, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Wonderful, you know, lodge to be there, a great balcony so you can sit on there and just oversee and the look at Mount Lemon, watch the clouds roll in and roll out. And, you know, so they're having an Oktoberfest as well. There's probably beer and sausage, you think?
Okay, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
That's right.
I mean, that's
probably.
that's why you're a tourism guy, Tom, because you can deduce that from the name Oktoberfest.
Well, and I've been practicing, you know.
You have.
Okay, you can only see this if you're on YouTube or Facebook. But you got to really work out in order.
Well, because, you know, it's not a 12-ounce wrist curl.
You're doing
the leader mug.
It's not
wrist
even
curl,
a 16. So it's not even a 16 you do ounce. It's like a 32
to,
ounce.
You do have to practice.
And so the beer doesn't go flat. You have to drink it pretty fast.
That's always my mistake. Okay.
Yeah. You got to be careful because you don't want to get extra air in there because it's not polite to be burping.
And you're at altitude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You don't have as much oxygen.
So the Cochise County Fair is in Douglas. The fairgrounds are in Douglas. It's on Leslie Canyon Road. It's in Douglas. It starts today through the 28th. So we think we're all right, that in Tucson. This is the 101st annual Cochise County Fair.
Yeah.
They've been doing this for a while.
We had the 100th, parade and rodeo last year, but they're having their 101st. Now, we did have the 100th Pima County Fair a while back. You know, it's amazing. These fairs have been going on so long. And you know what? 4-H has never gone away. Believe it or not, you would think with all of the things going on these days with soccer and sports and, you know, kids still like to get together in the agricultural sense. And that's very popular at all the county fairs, look for chickens and sheep and cows and all kinds of things. And the 4-H is very much alive and well. Well, we're going to be back, and we're going to wrap up this this hour, and then we coming at 8 o'clock. We're going to listen to a comedic kind of entertainer that's going to all the festivals and entertaining the audience. And there's an educational message behind what he does. So we'll be right back with the Morning Voice.
You know our name, it's the Morning Voice, and our number is 790-2040, 790-2040. That's our number. This is by request for Dr. Moulton.
Well, in the studio, but he's coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to call him the best Frank ever in Toot Toot Tucson, and we're going to kind of tease it a little bit because he'll be live here in the studio. And Matt, I don't know, can you grab a shot of this gentleman here? We're not going to name him just quite yet because he's over there kind of, just listening. And he can't put his headphones on with his hat, so he's having a hard time there. But we really appreciate you coming on because a lot of great things happening with the Southern Arizona We used to call it Saka, and there's a new name. We're going to kind of reveal that, but they're going to as well. And we're going to talk a bit, you know, where I met this gentleman and the kind of things that he does. So we'll be back at 8 o'clock with this gentleman. So hang in there, sir. Obviously, his favorite color is orange. He's holding an orange phone. Okay. Tim, you know, we're going to wrap up this segment here because it's festival season, isn't it? We're not sure where Timmy went.
Absolutely.
Okay, you are. You're back. Okay. So what do you think? Yeah. I mean, therefore, during the summer, we were struggling talking about the festivals, and now here we are. You know, I think we're now talking about your most favorite five festivals, just because people get angry when we don't talk about their festivals, and coming up is probably one of the best festival goers here in town. Go ahead.
I would appreciate you picking me up, and let's go to the Cochise County Fair. You and I made a huge dent in the Pima County Fair a few years ago.
Well, it's always fun to look for that one's favorite corn dog and funnel cake. You can't find funnel cakes anywhere, can you, other than fairs?
No, you can't.
And, you know,
and I'm from Window Rock, Arizona, and so I grew up on the Navajo Nation, so I can't find a good Navajo taco unless I'm at a fair.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yes. But you certainly can find pizza anywhere you go. And I don't know if you ever had Tony's Pizza from Gaslight Theater. Great pizza.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, we won't give him too much of a plug here, but he's a great guy and been a former member of the SAAA over the years. And but doing a really good job on the east side of town and now on the Oro Valley side with his new theater
that's been around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the story, you remember, old Tucson had the opportunity. Oro Valley kind of grabbed it away and became Gaslight Theater West, and it's just full of entertainment all the time there. And I don't know if you've ever been.
I used to go frequently.
Okay.
Gaslight Theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where I learned my ex-wife knew how to hiss at a villain. I didn't know that was a thing, but she would go, hiss.
Well, I like melodramas too, and that's the favorite place. And you know, their costume designer there is also the costume designer for Nightfall. So
Renee.
So Dabney the clown outfit, Matt, comes from Renee. So she's been around for decades for sure. Last time I really saw her and had a lot of fun, we all went over to Rawhide and just kind of let our hair down, okay? I think it was the margarita stand did that, but we had a great time.
Yeah.
So Tom, do you have time for one really quick call from Bunker about another event at Empire Ranch?
Well, I have to tell you, we only got less than a minute, so ask Bunker to hang in there.
Oh, okay.
And we'll catch him during Tim's favorite three festivals when we come back, okay? All righty. So we'll be back. And don't forget to, if you want to learn more about what is going on with the Morning Voice, the website's kvui.com, and you get to listen to all the different hosts there because we record every show in perpetuity, they say. Once on the internet is always on the internet. And coming up on the 8 o'clock hour, is the best Frank forever in Toot Tucson, you know, and we're really looking forward to the hearing more about the comic bookmobile and how he teaches children how to draw comics and promote literacy through cartooning. So that's going to be, and he has this wonderful van. I think they call it a bus, didn't they?
Yes.
Okay. They call it a bus. And it's been in actually the Saka location called Catalyst. So we'll learn more about how you can get a Volkswagen Beetle bus in a the Tucson Mall. So that's going to be an interesting story as well. We'll be right back. This is the Morning Voice, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host. Well, good morning. We're back in the Morning Voice, and this is we're live on YouTube and Facebook as well as KVY.com. And, we're going to take a little bit different approach to this hour. This is now the comedy hour. And you hear in the bank, Frank Powers, who's known as many different characters. And if you see him, if you're on YouTube right now, his favorite color is orange. Matt, we got Tim on there. So if you could get Tim off and put Matt on, that would be great. And so we're enjoying really an hour. And there you are, Frank. You're there. There you are. You're live.
Is it doing
Thank
all
you,
right?
Matt.
There we
and,
go.
And as you can – oh, you just lost your tie. I don't
I'm
know if
very
you can,
excited.
I don't know if you could talk without that tie on.
I'm very excited. I have to look very professional on the radio.
So I met this gentleman at a children's festival put on by our wonderful Katie. And we were at Treldas Town. And he has a signature Volkswagen van. What year is that?
It's a 1969. Oh, see, I'll lose this hat. I'm going to lose this tie. I'm going to lose this everything.
All right, he's got
like
here
a
on.
Like a professional.
He's on the radio right Ooh. Now, so it's staying with the orange.
Yeah.
And Frank is well-known for many, many things here in the community, and we're anxious to talk with Frank because Frank just recently became the newest member of the Art State Arizona organization, and you probably really don't know what that is.
No, because it's pretty new.
That's right. What did this new organization used to be, Frank?
So I drive a 1969 VW bus, to answer that first question, called the Comic Book Mobile. And yes, I did pull it into the Tucson Mall at Catalyst Creative Collective, which is the home base of what used to be called SACA, the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance. What a mouthful. Now, they've rebranded it just last week to be Art State Arizona.
You know, so years ago, I asked my father about what entrepreneurship meant, and I was thinking about starting up a new company. And his advice was, son, make sure you tell people in the name what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they were listening to my father.
Yes, I like it much better.
Because what are they involved in?
Right, the entire state of art,
yes.
Because that's what they're trying to do. So it used to be, obviously, SACA with the Southern Arizona, blah, 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 right? Now they are trying to go, let's focus and move up and talk about some of the other cities, some of the outskirts cities, bring some more festivals to other areas north, and even get up into Phoenix and do some fun stuff up there.
Yeah, and we're going to have Dallas on next week. And she's going to talk about some of those programs, but the outfit that you have on today is generally what you don't probably have on when you go into work at Art State Arizona, is it?
Actually, you'd be surprised this is what I wear there because, again, my title there, and I did not give this to myself, was MC Extraordinaire. So pretty nice. My friend made fun of me. He's like, can they afford that? Thinking I came up with that title. No, they made me the title of MC Extraordinaire. So I do get to host a lot of the events, whether it's this outfit or something for Christmas, a full gold suit with the mayor, having a bunch of fun stuff when it comes to like a mermaid outfit. I have all these fancy, silly suits that I kind of make my brand in town.
Yeah, and right next to the Comic Book Mobile, I had a chance to contact Kevin over there, the Catalyst Special Event Manager, and I asked him. I said, Tucson Auto Museum is going to be with me at this event that I'm having there on September 30th, and he said they would like to know if they could bring a car in there. And he looked at me and he goes, well, is it larger than a Volkswagen bus? No, it's actually one of their mini car, because Tucson Auto Museum is known for their miniature car collection.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are actually street legal cars, and Great Britain used to make a lot of them, and now they're made, you know, around the world, but they can fit two people sometimes, but now these people have to be pretty little. I don't think you and I would fit in there.
Probably not. Not with this hat.
Not with that hat, and you're tall, and I'm wide, so, you know, we definitely wouldn't fit into that car. But it's something that is very unique, because when you pull into or walk into a festival, your eyes can only go one place, and they go to your Volkswagen van, but they go to you as well. And clearly, what were you thinking when you decided that you wanted to be the first place they go when they arrive?
Well, when I saw this outfit, which is, like, I like to call it my onomatopoeia pantsuit, because it's a biff, bam, pows, it's all that sort of stuff. I wear a big orange hat, big orange cape. Stop tapping, Tom. What are you doing? You're tapping too much. All right. So the whole thing is, like, you got to stand out in a crowd. That's what I like to do, obviously. And being a children's entertainer is a big way to do that. If I'm not dual wielding puppets too, because sometimes I'll have a puppet on both hands doing several characters, or I'll have a bubble gun shooting bubbles out in the air. And that's really fun. But it's good to just try to get the attention of these kids to be kind of a living cartoon character, which is what I've always kind of been.
Yeah. But you've connected literacy to that as well.
Yeah.
And I saw you at another festival, and that is a brand new event facility that you were at with
that was Second Sky.
Yes, with the creative plant behind it.
Yes,
what's the name of that?
Creative Machines.
That's right.
Funny enough, when that building, before it was Second Sky, it was a big empty warehouse. That's where I built the comic book mobile. They let me borrow it for 6 months, and I was in that place using it like a garage. So the comic book mobile, because I bought a 1969 VW bus. It was melting into the earth at a yard around the corner from the U of A. Everyone's like, where'd you find it? I'm like, down the street, right around the corner from the U of A. Okay, so fix it up myself with a buddy. All right, we did that. Took a while. My first gig was the 4th of July in 2019. So then did it for a little while, and then COVID happened. So parked it, and then got back in business in 2021, and it's been nonstop, going nonstop since. It's really good.
Well, you were in my favorite corner in Catalyst, and then of course you were quite visible. I don't think a lot of people know about that creative factory that you've been
creative at. Machines.
Yeah, Creative Machines.
Well, it depends on the industry you're in. The industry does, because they'll build like a giant, very elaborate, like, nonstop motion machine that gets installed into a library, like in Michigan.
Right.
Like, so they'll build these gigantic contraptions that are art and movement based and kind of science based, very interesting things that, again, they're building like big installations for museums across the world.
That's right.
So plenty of people do know of them in that industry. But yes, they are like fabricators. They do a lot of great stuff there.
Yeah, I the creativity in this community continues to astonish me. And, we had talked on this show in the last month about the different kinds of tourism, urban tourism, equal tourism, you know, and one of the areas that we talked about was the phenomena of the hybrid family entertainment centers opening up and why they're opening up. And, you know, so my upbringing, very conservative economic development guy, I went and started researching this, but I researched it in the wrong area, because I was looking at why is all of a sudden this explosion of family entertainment centers. And that's kind of an acronym, like for MICA, you know, and, you know, it means so much different. You know, it's not necessarily rides. It's not necessarily just arcade machines. You know, Top Golf kind of proved that, you know, where you can have good food. I guess Peter Piper always has had good pizza.
Sure.
You know, and everything else was secondary. And then along came the main event, and now Roadies. Yep. And
I'll tell you exactly why.
Yeah. So tell me about why you think there's this.
People want to be entertained.
Yes.
Okay. That's all it is. And even now, you can't just be entertained by one thing. You got to be entertained by two. You're watching TV and you're on your phone and doing a crossword puzzle. Like, that's what happened. And if you notice, this started to happen in bars first. Remember we started to get the bar trivia?
Yes.
We also started to get the bar, a little video game where you match the pictures. Very small, But it stopped being let's go to the bar. Now it's let's go to the bar as their show. Let's go to the bar as their trivia. It's everything needed to layer on stuff. And look at bars. There's not a lot of bars that don't have entertainment now. They all have entertainment. That did not exist in the 80s and the 90s. It was just you go to the bar. It's Cheers. It just existed. You're there to talk to people. Well, now people don't talk to strangers as much. They just don't. But they do go out with friends, and then they want something to do. So I find that it's that, and then you have your families. Because the malls are trying to turn into more of entertainment spaces. That's why Catalyst is even at the mall. But that's why you have those little cars that they can rent and drive around. The play places are always packed because it's free entertainment for kids. They just want to jump on a giant thing, and then they're having fun, and the parents just have to chill out on their phone. So it's partly entertainment.
Games and Gadgets, okay, of course, you know, they're upstairs. Mm-hmm. Is a member of the SAAA, and they're so much more than a store.
Yeah.
You know, you walk in there, and you open up one of the secret doors, and there's, you know, five or six people in there, and they're playing one of these, you know, popular, video games.
Tabletop games, not video games.
Well, actually, both now.
Well, at that store, not.
Yeah.
It's tabletop games.
Yeah, it's table predominantly,
It's board games at that place, because even the board game phenomenon has become more popular. So for the folks that don't want to go out but still want to get together, what are they doing? They're actually playing board games. Kickstarter made this a big thing, where the revolution of people can design their own board games and get them made has become a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah, and then, of course, as a result of that, he had to open up a little bit of a restaurant and a bar, because people would hang out there for hours.
Yeah.
And so
smart stuff. There's a mystery escape room down in the Tucson Mall well. Like, there's a lot to do. There's a trampoline in there, like the big trampoline place. So they've made these places, whether it's a bar, whether it's a new place like Main Event, which is just the adult Dave and Buster's, same company. That's the thing, is that they know that families want to go out and people want to go out and just have a ton of fun. That's the idea.
Okay, we'll be back with Frank Powers, and we're going to learn more about family entertainment. This is The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back, and we're listening to Frank's favorite music today, and, you know, something that certainly I grew up with. We're really happy that, Frank, you are here, and you and I, during the break, were talking about the best Frank forever. And, you know, you're doing so many things here in the positive things in the community, but you also are very visible. So when someone comes up because they kind of they notice you.
Yeah.
but after they notice you, they feel compelled that, so who are you, Frank? What do you do?
Well, do you want the whole thing?
Sure. We got time.
Sure. Well, I'm your BFF, your best Frank forever, the prince of promotion, the king of commotion, your master of ceremonies and the ambassador of entertainment for all the fun things happening in Tucson, a certified phonologist from the School of Hard Knock Knocks. Hey, Tom, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Woo.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, woo-hoo. I'm excited to be on the radio with you, Tucson.
There you go.
So it's pretty fun. So I like to say that I'm a children's entertainer. The short answer is I'm a children's entertainer. I say I'm a children's entertainer and a radio DJ.
You know,
those are my main things.
And you don't find too many of you, Frank.
A one of one, that's
you're
right.
One of one. And we're talking before the break that I had met Frank at a couple of children's festival, and I always noticed that he had these little guys kind of around him. And I was wondering, why is he so popular? And as I get to know you, Frank, I understand why you kind of like you're a magnet and you draw. Literally, the kids can come in and you teach them how to draw cartoons.
Yeah. So I'm a cartoonist.
Yes, absolutely. And a good one. And, you know, we all read comic books when we were little.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the things that my generation has, that your generation has. We were reading probably pretty close to the same comic books, maybe a few new ones because of TV. But you were probably reading, all of those cartoons that are now movies.
Right.
You know, whether it be DC Comics or Marvel or whatever they may be. You know, now part of my career, I had the pleasure of working at Hanna-Barbera Land.
Really?
And yes, and actually the two wonderful cartoonists of, you know, Yogi Bear and Freddie Flintstone and many Captain Caveman.
That's right. You remember that guy?
Okay.
I know them all.
We used to dress up as Captain Caveman.
Yeah, yes, we did. But we won't tell people where. And of course, Mel Blanc was our favorite.
Yeah, the man of a million voices.
Absolutely. He talks about how he came up with the Bugs Bunny voice, of course. You know, he was from New Jersey, you know, so he just had to kind of accelerate a little bit of the New Jersey accent with a kind of a smart ass, you know, yeah. Look. I think I can say that word.
I'm not sure if you can. Tom.
I don't know, but I whispered it, Matt. So
that makes it better.
Absolutely, thank you. But you know, working at Hanna-Barbera Land, I did have a different appreciation for families with small children because you know they weren't the easiest to keep going with the same topic. You know, so you had to like throw things at them, you know, the whole time they were there to keep them entertained, to keep them active, keep them from getting bored. And of course, when you go, I don't know what that magical age is, 8 or 9 years old, it's a completely different type of entertainment.
Right.
Now, so this is the question I have is, what have you discovered? You know, if you take, I don't know how we break down kids in the sense from an age standpoint, but tell me a little bit about how you work with the smaller kids, and then you get into the kids that want to be a teenager, but they're not quite a teenager yet.
Sure. Yeah. The littler kids are easy. I use puppets sometimes, right? So yes. I don't force puppets on older kids. You just bring out a puppet once in a while. With the littler kids, I throw those bubbles around. I'm fun. I'm colorful. Telling jokes, being silly. You can fall down. It's easier to entertain smaller kids, right? But for shorter periods of time.
Right.
That's the thing. So you keep doing silly stuff. Being silly works. Letting them ask you questions, answering those questions. Are you a real superhero? Yes. Oh, what's your superpower? You just make up stuff. You know, and do all that sort of thing. I always do a thing of you got to spin a wheel to win stickers at the comic book mobile, but one of the things is a question mark. What's that mean? Oh, you got to read my mind. What number am I thinking of? And the kids sit there and they go, 7. Oh, 7 is correct. What are the odds? No matter what number, right? And that always gives the adults a big laugh. So that's always pretty fun. And then fifth grade is the sweet spot for teaching kids. That's what I feel. And if they are actually a group of kids, like it's different in the real world, as opposed to say classroom, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, they have to sit. You go to a camp, they have to sit. You know, that's the difference. A birthday party, they don't have to sit. So that's the difference too, is that I do different things based on what it calls for. So at these big events that you often see me at, it's just kind of a free for all. It's free drawing, it's free coloring. I set up all the coloring, nothing's for sale. That's the trick with me, is everyone's always shocked. They're like, how much does this cost? I'm like, it's just free. The events pay me. I have to sell myself to the events. I say, I'm just a bouncy house. And then they get it. The kids explore the bus. They get to crawl around in there. It's got AstroTurf inside. It's filled with dolls. It's got a book nook in there. There's 100 comic books, all the original first appearances of our favorite Marvel and DC comics, right? Again, the reason I love to do that is it is about literacy, but art. That's what comics and sequential art is. Graphic storytelling is that. And the reason I'm so verbose is because of that Batman, which, by the way, Tom, not to break it here, Bruce Wayne. Can you believe it?
So what happens now when the kids get past that sweet spot? How do you change?
You can educate them on business. Then that's when you start teaching them the difference between what my world was growing up and yours, as opposed to now. Now there are no gatekeepers. They can start an Instagram page. They can make a .com. They can start their career. They can make a Kickstarter. Anybody can do this now, right? That's the difference. And back then, when I graduated, I went to the School of Visual Arts in New York City. I'm from Long Island, so it was great. And the difference was, oh, Mad Magazine. All right, I got to go bring my 24x36 portfolio and walk it up there physically, knock on that door, and hope Alfred E. Newman isn't busy that day. And that's the difference. Now you don't need to do that. Sequential art, comics, digital comics have become one of the biggest things on Instagram and online anywhere. What are memes? They're comics, right? That's what it is. So it's fascinating to me to see how much it's grown.
So Mad Magazine, okay?
Yeah.
I grew up with Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
It Did it miss you? Or
no, when you were naming the comics, I was going to say Mad Magazine.
Okay.
People don't think of Mad Magazine as comics. It's comics.
Right. It's comics.
Yes.
And it was, why do you think it was popular and why do you think it's not popular right now?
It is to a degree, but print is print. Okay. So that's just what it is. It's not because of like, oh, it's not popular. My friend who loves Mad Magazine more than anything, he didn't even realize it was still in print because the news had gone out that it's gone. No, they still put out quarterlies with new covers. There's classic material in there because they've got, you know, decades of it, but there's still, they'll make fun of modern things and modern news stories and modern things going on, just not as many. And it's still some of your favorite artists too, and some of the best caricatures in history is Mad Magazine. So it comes out, I believe, quarterly. They'll do specials. They're expensive now because if you look at a magazine rack at a grocery store, it's $15 to get a special edition of an Elvis magazine. But now notice they make special edition of Simpsons magazines because my generation is like coming up. We're hitting our 40s. So those same like Time Life magazines that they crank out for I Love Lucy or those 50s nostalgia things, now that we're getting those 90s nostalgia versions, but magazines are $15. So it can get a little pricey, but worth it. For Mad Magazine to me, because again, there's just so much comedy in there that does, so it's subversive like it used to be,
right.
You know, it's sarcastic and it's comedy unlike anywhere else.
Is it topical?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So let's think about...
I'll give you an example how it'll be topical.
Okay.
Like the new Batman will come out.
Right.
They'll make a new, they'll afford enough to make a new 5-page parody, but then they're going to make... Here's every Batman parody we've done over the years. So this way they can afford that they're kind of doing a reprint, but it's a whole new generation that never read that. They weren't around in the 90s when all those Batman movies came out, and I'm getting issues month by month. So that's some of the difference in where we've gotten with Mad Magazine.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Frank, who is his favorite new comic character? We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice here on KVOI. The trusted local news and talk, Frank. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, and I'm here with my best friend and forever.
That's right.
And we've been talking about, you know, cartoon characters and comic books. And, you know, Frank, you know, I think you may know, but I was a Six Flags executive for many years, but also worked at Hanna-Barbera Land and also worked with Warner Brothers. You know, so I've had, at one time, believe it or not, in my 40s, I was known as the children's expert for Six Flags.
Really?
And they used to send me around to the Toy Fair in New York. My wife got a big kick of that. And we were always, you know, the Six Flags that knew what was the newest cartoon character coming. So we were right smack in the middle of He-Man, Transformers, the Thundercats, which really never made it.
How dare you? Thundercats is my favorite cartoon of all time. Don't you dare insult Lionel like that.
We enjoyed the launch, but we also enjoyed watching the kids put on He-Man skits, which, by the way, the teachers hate it because there was a little bit of sword fighting, and I guess they call that violence. But, you know, so there's a phenomenon happening right now, and I won't tell you what I've heard the results are, but Six Flags in Cedar Fair, Cedar Point, and Canada's Wonderland, in a wonderful, more family-oriented theme parks than Six Flags, which is more teen rides. Six Flags inherited Warner Brothers cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful group. You know, obviously Bugs Bunny became their spokesperson, and then all the other characters that were on Bugs Bunny. But, you know, the star really was Sylvester and Bugs Bunny. Then the other group, Cedar Point, Cedar Fair, introduced Peanuts characters to their parks and themed their kiddie lands and so on. And so here's the CEO and the chairman of the board. CEO is a guy named Zimmerman, who a longtime employee of Cedar Fair, very successful CEO. And then another gentleman was the CEO of Six Flags, and he became the chairman of the board. So you from Six Flags. So you have a Six Flags Warner Brothers guy, and you have a Zimmerman guy that probably signed the initial contract with Peanuts, and they have a big decision. The Peanuts contract is about ready to expire, and Warner Brothers, the corporate side, is throwing away their legacy of Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes.
Right.
So now, so think about, you're now the CEO, the chairman of the board, the guy that makes the decisions. Do you keep the Peanuts? Do you keep the Warner Brothers? What do you do?
Well, those two properties have never really had much interaction, which is true, right? But if you look at a lot of the way some theme parks are, there, it's like, oh, there's Harry Potter, and next to that's Jaws, right? You
yes.
got different things at Universal. You got different things at these places, right? Even at Six Flags, they also had the DC superheroes are a big thing with them.
That's right.
So the thing that I would do, if it's possible, is consider maybe not going full 100% and try to license. Because I know Peanuts are huge at the licensing show, and they're licensing big. I think it's like a big anniversary for them and Snoopy and Charlie Brown. But what I would do, because I feel like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and Warner Brothers is more of a property when it comes to their cartoons, has a bigger legacy. And I mean, I have an Iron Giant tattoo that's a Warner Brothers cartoon character, okay? And that's the thing when it comes to a lot of their properties, even Scooby-Doo and the Hanna-Barbera's, because Warner Brothers bought Hanna-Barbera back in the day. So now Scooby-Doo is in that Warner Brothers family. So if I was going to open a theme park or pick which one to brand, I would stick with that, the bigger one that is encapsulating the Looney Tunes, the bigger library of characters. What people don't remember is Disney did not buy Marvel Comics. What they bought was, and this is how they phrased it, Marvel's 5,000 character library. And that's why they took a very small comic called Guardians of the Galaxy and made it a big movie. They took Big Hero 6, a very small comic, made it a big movie. They didn't even focus on Spider-Man immediately because they were like just getting into it. But it was their characters that they wanted. And I feel that Warner Brothers has that bigger character catalog with the Hanna-Barbera characters. Peanuts is just the Charlie Brown gang. That said, maybe they can work out a licensing agreement. And you know when I would roll out the Peanuts characters at this place? The holidays. Because Peanuts is far more associated with the holidays than any Warner Brothers thing. Warner Brothers and Bugs Bunny have never really had a very, you know, there's not a very Christmassy Bugs Bunny. There's not. Mickey Mouse did it. So they've got their holiday celebrations down, but that might be a good way to get different groups of fans in that theme park if they can somehow have your main characters be the Warner Brothers characters, but then maybe during the holiday specials, you have the Peanuts come out.
You know, it's not quite the same when you had the opportunity to buy up all these URLs and you did it for one reason. You know, probably a little bit of a selfish reason. You didn't want anybody else to have it.
Sure.
Okay. So now all of a sudden, this new company, which they kept the name Six Flags, has this wonderful opportunity to have both franchises. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they are a licensing agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's pretty, they can do anything they want with them. I mean, other than they're not making cartoons.
Right.
They're theming. It's a more of a thematic. So at the Cedar Fair parks, all of their kitty lands were themed, you know, Peanuts. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Snoopy was very prevalent, laying around when you walk in through the archway. And, you know, and they do have, you know, they do have characters, but they don't have as many as Warner Brothers, okay? And on the other hand, I'm not sure, are any of them really topical in the sense of have they've had new shows done?
So right now, Peanuts is having a bit, they have a show on Apple Plus.
Okay.
The problem is a lot of people don't see what's on Apple TV.
Yes,
but
right.
It does exist. So, and they've been good. I watched them on the airplane, that I've watched some of these new Charlie Brown specials that are on Apple TV. It's a series. It's darling.
Okay.
It just is. It's very adorable. So I recommend it. And more than ever, Snoopy's becoming more popular, like Hello Kitty. So Snoopy as like an icon is becoming that level of iconic cartoon character, a Hello Kitty style Mario level, whereas people wouldn't think that in the, you know, times past, but Snoopy is a very big character. He's been bigger in the 80s. He's been bigger at certain times in his career, but going into modern times, he's very popular. There are entire stores dedicated to just Snoopy in Japan.
So why would you want to give that up?
Remember, they have a choice to make, because some point you got to realize this is Six Flags a Coke or is it a Pepsi? Because they're going to have to pick a cola that is at every fountain soda, and you have to go with one. And that is part of what all this is.
The next generation won't remember there was a Six Flags and there was a Cedar Fair.
Right.
Okay. They will eventually blend and create their own unique brand, whatever that may be.
Sure.
The cool thing is that Cedar Fair was more of a, even though it was known for its large amount of roller coasters, it certainly had a better family feel.
Sure.
Less teenagers hanging out and all, and but on the other hand, during the day, Magic Mountain was all families. And in the evening, it became teens, okay? And people kind of, well, you don't go to Magic Mountain after six, okay?
Sure.
But on the other hand, there was issues after six, okay?
Yeah, well, that's what rowdy teens do.
That's right. And they would put in these lifeguard chairs in the queue lines for everybody to keep from misbehaving. So it's a dilemma, and it's not, you know, obviously with supervision, it gets better. But, you know, you're not going to, you know, change a teenager just because they come into a theme park, you know, other than maybe there's some restraints. But so it's just so happens that I am part of a more used to be quarterly, but now a monthly conversation with theme park executives.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the topics recently was about what should the new Six Flags do. And obviously the decision was made with a lot of feedback or input from, you know, but what was really bugging them was Warner Brothers, don't kill it, sell it, okay? Mm-hmm. And Hanna-Barbera Land, as you know, or the Hanna-Barbera characters have been owned by various Taft Broadcasting, which was the parent of Kings Island, which they bought. Cedar Fair bought Kings Island, Kings Dominion, Canada's Wonderland. Wonderful. Figured out how to mix families and teens from opening the close. Large roller coaster, the Beast. You may have heard that, and since Cincinnati, one of the largest 4.5 minute roller coasters, probably the best roller coaster in the world. But they, I think they're going to work it out. Much like you don't hear much about Warner Brothers versus DC Comics. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain thematic elements that fit better, you know. And can they coexist together? Well, I think they proved that DC Comics and Marvel Comics could, or Warner Brothers could coexist.
Well, I'll be honest with you right now. Even DC Comics and Marvel Comics are coexisting right now.
Yes.
They just had a Deadpool Batman comic come out together last
week. That's
right.
That's right.
So right now, if you haven't noticed, that's a lot of things are doing this because they need to merge properties so that more fans show up. That's why you even have, you know, a celebrity guest day at a baseball park. We want to get different fans in here today. We're going to have superhero day at the baseball stadium. We're going to have Star Wars day at the hockey game, at the Tucson Roadrunners game. We're going to do this. They theme things because they want different fan bases to show up and be interested. So that's the idea, and it goes with that same demographic that you're talking about.
They are deciding to keep both.
Okay.
And which was a smart decision.
Yeah.
There's no reason why to give it one to a competitor, but that was just one reason. The best reason is that each one of those characters appeals to a different audience.
Yep.
And how you make it at a theme park is that you appeal to a broader audience.
Yes.
And it's not just demographics, or it's just not gender, or it's not age. Well, we got one segment left, Frank. This has been exciting. And we're on The Morning Voice, and we'll be right back after this break. Well, we're back again with my BFF. The best Frank forever is sitting across from me at the studios of KVY. And we've been talking about cartoons. I mean, does somebody actually make money and have a living talking about cartoons?
Yeah, me. Well, you're talking to him.
He's right across from me, you know. And I bet you when you wake up in the morning, fun is the three-letter word of the day.
It is actually true that I am a lot of times what people do envision. The other day, I even went to Target and I got a wind-up little Frankenstein from the dollar area. And then later, there's me sitting at home. I'm like, oh, look at this thing. I wind him up. I just set him down, fold my arms, look at it. And then I just chuckled. And I laughed because I'm like, you know, if this is one of those moments that if there's a camera, like I'm behaving exactly like everyone thinks I should, playing with a wind-up Frankenstein and just chuckling at it. But
well,
yeah.
It's sad, but when you look at a guy like me who's, been around for a while and you go, yeah, I'm 73, but, I act like I'm 14,
Hey, that's not bad, is it?
It's not bad to be 14 or 13 anymore. But, and that's why Hanna-Barbera land. Tim, yeah, Tim, is that you're trying to join in there, aren't you? I know you're 12.
I was just going to say, I live like a 12-year-old. I'm paralyzed, and I've got all my food on the counter, and every day I'm going to have mac and cheese or...
Chicken nuggies.
Chicken nuggies, yeah.
I came home the other day, and I asked my wife, because she's retired now, but I don't expect her to be my chef every night, but I said, so what's for dinner, Hunter? And she said, bean and Franks.
That's all you need.
I haven't had bean and Franks for a long time, And
I'm like a 12-year-old camping.
No, I understand that. And, when you live your life every day, as Frank does, we have stress. We got to pay the bills and everything else. You have a different solution to your problems, don't you, Frank?
Well, it's work. That's really it, is you just got to put your head down and do the work. That's mostly what it is. A lot of times, to be successful, you have to get used to doing the things that you don't want to do. That's just part of it, I always tell people creative decisions are like, sometimes you'll get somewhere and a creative project is 7,000 different decisions and you'll get stuck on decision 2002. But then if you can get help with just that one step, you will be able to do the other 3,000, 4,000 steps and get through it. So it's like, that's why not giving up. Asking for help is important. Like, these are the things that are going to make you successful. The other thing is just a good baseline outlook. Here, let me finish this one thing, is PMA. So when you say I wake up every day and fun is the word, it's also PMA. PMA stands for a positive mental attitude. It is a get-to mentality. I don't have to go to work today. I get to go to work today.
So, Tim, obviously we know your situation, and you have to get through every day. And that's why we invite you every Thursday to be part of this show. And I hope that you have a little bit of a smile on your face this morning.
I do.
There you go, positivity.
Meaning Frank. I don't know if you have YouTube on and you can see Frank, but when Frank came into the studio, we'll send you a picture. Frank will make sure we get it. Matt takes a picture of us because it'll make your day. Because he made my day this morning, and I can't wait. Are you at any festivals coming up?
That's all I want to talk about today. We're talking about cartoon characters, Mad Magazine. Yes, I'm hosting that Sarita Oktoberfest tomorrow.
It's Friday. Oh, fantastic!
It's actually Friday.
Oh, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
26th, right?
Okay, 25th.
Friday
the 25th.
What's today?
Right?
Today's
correct?
The 25th.
Well, then it's the next day, the 25th. Like, you get what I'm saying. Tomorrow, the 26th.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's Friday. That's all I know. Because right. I stopped paying attention to the date because I'm like, Friday.
It is Friday.
That. And then in October, I'm going to be at Trail Dust Town every Friday for their Not Too Frightful Fridays.
Oh, is that right? That's fantastic.
All right. Where I'm a cool DJ for kids.
Casey has done the right thing.
Yes, I appreciate that. That's my favorite thing. So I'm hosting that.
There's nothing like a regular gig, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and that's just going to be all the way till Halloween.
Yeah,
and then
fantastic.
On Halloween weekend, it is going to be my 11th year hosting Halloween weekend at Hotel Congress. That's going to be on the 25th, I think.
I didn't know about that. That's great.
That was my first real gig in town, was hosting Halloween at Hotel Congress, and now it's 11 years later. So boom. Join me for that as we make a memory.
I'm so happy you got that in. So you'll be happy when you leave here today. Well, this has been a fun show on The Morning Voice. We try to have fun, right, Tim? And Matt?
We do. And Frank?
Go ahead, Tim.
I live in a three-bedroom condo. And I live alone. Hey, I'm paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, we got to go, but hurry up. Finish in 10 seconds.
All right. I've got one room dedicated to an Atari 2600.
Nice.
I know.
Well, Timmy, I'm hoping that helps, and enjoy yourself. And we should listen to Frank when he's on the radio as well, because it's a wonderful show. I want to thank everybody for coming today, and we'll be back next Thursday. Take care, everybody. This is The Morning Voice.